Carol and I were both awestruck by the obviousness of this idea, the simplicity of it. My stone lips cracked apart. Jamie needs real medicines, the ones the souls have. We need to get him those. Doc frowned at me.
We don't even know what those things do, how they work.
Does it matter? Some of Melanie's anger was seeping into my voice. They do work. They can save him. Jared stared at me. I could feel Ian's eyes on me, too, and Kyle's, and all the rest in the room. But I saw only Jared.
We can't get him, Wanda,
Jeb said, his tone already one of defeat, giving up.
We can only get into deserted places. There's always a bunch of your kind in a hospital, 24 hours a day, too many eyes. We won't do Jamie any good if we get caught.
Sure,
Kyle said in a hard voice.
The centipedes will be only too happy to heal his body when they find us here, and make him one of them. Is that what you're after?
I turned to glare at the big, sneering man. My body tensed and leaned forward. Ian put his hand on my shoulder as if he were holding me back. I didn't think I would have made any aggressive move toward Kyle, but maybe I was wrong. I was so far from my normal self. When I spoke, my voice was dead even, no inflection. There has to be a way. Jared was nodding.
Maybe someplace small. The gun would make too much noise, but if there were enough of us to overwhelm them, we could use knives.
No. My arms came unfolded, my hands falling open in shock. No, that's not what I meant. Not killing. No one even listened to me. Jeb was arguing with Jared.
There's no way, kid. Somebody'd get a call off to the Seekers. Even if we were in and out, something like that would bring them down on us in force. We'd be hard-pressed to make it out at all. And they'd follow.
Wait, can't you? They still weren't listening to me.
I don't want the boy to die either. But we can't risk everyone's lives for one person,
Kyle said.
People die here. It happens. We can't get crazy to save one boy.
I wanted to choke him, to cut off his air in order to stop his calm words. Me, not Melanie. I was the one who wanted to turn his face purple. Melanie felt the same way, but I could tell how much of the violence came directly from me. We have to save him, I said, louder now. Jeb looked at me.
Hun, we can't just walk in there and ask.
Right then another very simple and obvious truth occurred to me. You can't, but I can. The room fell dead silent. I was caught up in the beauty of the plan forming in my head, the perfection of it. I spoke mostly to myself and to Melanie. She was impressed. This would work. We could save Jamie. They aren't suspicious. Not at all. Even if I'm a horrible liar, they would never suspect me of anything. They wouldn't be listening for lies. Of course not. I'm one of them. They would do anything to help me. I'd say I got hurt hiking or something, and then I'd find a way to be alone and I'd take as much as I could hide. Think of it. I could get enough to heal everyone here, to last for years, and Jamie would be fine. Why didn't I think of this before? Maybe it wouldn't have been too late even for Walter. I looked up then with shining eyes. It was just so perfect. So perfect, so absolutely right, so obvious to me, that it took me forever to understand the expressions on their faces. If Kyle's had not been so explicit, it might have taken me longer. Hatred. Suspicion. Fear. Even Jeb's poker face was not enough. His eyes were tight with mistrust. Every face said no. Are they insane? Can't they see how this would help us all? They don't believe me. They think I'll hurt them. Hurt Jamie. Please, I whispered. It's the only way to save him.
Patient, isn't it? Kyle spit. Bided its time well, don't you think?
I fought the desire to choke him again. Doc, I begged. He didn't meet my eyes.
Even if there was any way we could let you outside, Wanda, I just couldn't trust drugs I don't understand. Jamie's a tough kid. His system will fight this off.
We'll go out again, Wanda, Ian murmured. We'll find something. We won't come back until we do.
That's not good enough.
The tears were pooling in my eyes. I looked to the one person who might possibly be in as much pain as I was.
Jared, you know. You know I would never let anything hurt Jamie. You know I can do this. Please.
He met my gaze for one long moment. Then he looked around the room at every other face. Jeb, Doc, Kyle, Ian, Trudy. Out the door at the silent audience whose expressions mirrored Kyle's. Sharon, Violetta, Lucina, Reed, Jeffrey, Heath, Heidi, Andy, Aaron, Wes, Lily, Carol. My friends mixed in with my enemies, all of them wearing Kyle's face. He stared at the next row, which I couldn't see. Then he looked down at Jamie. There was no sound of breathing in the whole room.
No, Wanda. He said quietly. No.
A sigh of relief from the rest. My knees buckled. I fell forward and yanked free of Ian's hands when he tried to pull me back up. I crawled to Jamie and pushed Trudy aside with my elbow. The silent room watched. I took the compress from his head and refilled the melted ice. I didn't meet the stares I could feel on my skin. I couldn't see anyway. The tears swam in front of my eyes.
Jamie, 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 I crooned. Jamie, Jamie, Jamie.
I couldn't seem to do anything but sob out his name and touch the packets of ice over and over, waiting for the moment they would need changing. I heard them leave, a few at a time. I heard their voices, mostly angry, fade away down the halls. I couldn't make sense of the words, though.
Jamie, 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 Jamie.
Ian knelt beside me when the room was almost empty.
I know you wouldn't, but Wanda, they'll kill you if you try, he whispered. After what happened in the hospital, they're afraid you have good reason to destroy us. Anyway, he'll be all right. You have to trust that.
I turned my face away from him, and he went away.
Sorry, kid, Jeb mumbled when he left.
Jared left. I didn't hear him go, but I knew when he was gone. That seemed right to me. He didn't love Jamie the way we did. He had proved that. He should go. Doc stayed, watching helplessly. I didn't look at him. The daylight faded slowly, turned orange and then gray. The ice melted and was gone. Jamie started to burn alive under my hands.
Jamie, Jamie, Jamie.
My voice was cracked and hoarse now, but I couldn't stop.
Jamie, Jamie, Jamie.
The room turned black. I couldn't see Jamie's face. Would he leave in the night? Had I already seen his face, his living face, for the last time? His name was just a whisper on my lips now, low enough that I could hear Doc's quiet snoring. I wiped the tepid cloth across his body without ceasing. As the water dried, it cooled him a little. The burn lessened. I began to believe that he wouldn't die tonight, but I wouldn't be able to hold him here forever. He would slip away from me. Tomorrow. The next day. And then I would die, too. I would not live without Jamie.
Jamie, 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 Melanie groaned. Jared didn't believe us.
The lament was both of ours. We thought it at the same time. It was still silent. I didn't hear anything. Nothing alerted me. Then suddenly Doc cried out. The sound was oddly muffled, like he was shouting into a pillow. My eyes couldn't make sense of the shapes in the darkness at first. Doc was jerking strangely, and he seemed too big, like he had too many arms. It was terrifying. I leaned over Jamie's inert form to protect him from whatever was happening. I could not flee while he lay helpless. My heart pounded against my ribs. Then the flailing arms were still. Doc's snore started up again, louder and thicker than before. He slumped to the ground, and the shape separated. A second figure pulled itself away from his and stood in the darkness.
"Let's go," Jared whispered. "We don't have time to waste."
My heart nearly exploded.
"He believes."
I jumped to my feet, forcing my stiff knees to unbend.
"What did you do to Doc?"
"Chloroform. It won't last long."
I turned quickly and poured the warm water over Jamie, soaking his clothes and the mattress. He didn't stir. Perhaps that would keep him cool until Doc woke up.
"Follow me."
I was on his heels. We moved silently, almost touching, almost running but not quite. Jared hugged the walls, and I did the same. He stopped when we reached the light of the moon-bright garden room. It was deserted and still. I could see Jared clearly for the first time. He had the gun slung behind his back and a knife sheathed at his waist. He held out his hands, and there was a length of dark fabric in them. I understood at once. The whispered words raced out of my mouth.
"Yes, blindfold me."
He nodded, and I closed my eyes while he tied the cloth over them. I would keep them closed anyway. The knot was quick and tight. When he was done, I spun myself in a fast circle, once, twice. His hands stopped me.
"That's okay," he said.
And then he gripped me harder and lifted me off the ground. I gasped in surprise as he threw me against his shoulder. I folded there, my head and chest hanging over his back, beside the gun. His arms held my legs against his chest, and he was already moving. I bounced as he jogged, my face brushing against his shirt with each stride. I had no sense of which way we were going. I didn't try to guess or think or feel. I concentrated only on the bouncing of his gait, counting steps. 20, 21, 22, 23. I could feel him lean as the path took him down and then up. I tried not to think about it. 412, 413, 414. I knew when we were out. I smelled the dry, clean breeze of the desert. The air was hot, though it had to be close to midnight. He pulled me down and set me on my feet.
"The ground is flat. Do you think you can run blindfolded?"
"Yes."
He grabbed my elbow tightly in his hand and took off, setting a rigorous pace. It wasn't easy. He caught me time and time again before I could fall. I started to get used to it after a while, and I kept my balance better over the tiny pits and rises. We ran until we were both gasping.
"If we can get to the jeep, we'll be in the clear."
"The jeep?" I felt a strange wave of nostalgia. Mel hadn't seen the jeep since the first leg of that disastrous trip to Chicago, hadn't known it had survived.
"If we can't?" I asked.
"They catch us. They'll kill you. Ian's right about that part."
I tried to run faster. Not to save my life, but because I was the only one who could save Jamie's, I stumbled again.
"Going to take off the blindfold. You'll be faster."
"You sure?"
"Don't look around, okay?"
"Promise." He yanked at the knots behind my head. As the fabric fell away from my eyes, I focused them only on the ground at my feet. It made a world of difference. The moonlight was bright, and the sand was very smooth and pale. Jared dropped his arm and broke into a faster stride. I kept up easily now. Distance running was familiar to my body. I settled into my preferred stride, just over a 6-minute mile, I'd guess. I couldn't keep up that pace forever, but I'd run myself into the ground trying.
"You hear anything?" he asked.
I listened. Just 2 sets of running feet on the sand.
"No."
He grunted in approval. I guessed this was the reason he'd stolen the gun. They couldn't stop us from a distance without it. It took about an hour more. I was slowing then, and so was he. My mouth burned for water. I'd never looked up from the ground, so it startled me when he put his hand over my eyes. I faltered, and he pulled us to a walk.
"We're okay now. Just ahead."
He left his hand over my eyes and tugged me forward.
I heard our footsteps echo off something. The desert wasn't as flat here.
Get in.
His hand disappeared. It was nearly as dark as it was with him covering my eyes. Another cave. Not a deep one. If I turned around, I would be able to see out of it. I didn't turn. The jeep faced into the darkness. It looked just the same as I remembered it, this vehicle I had never seen. I swung myself over the door into the seat. Jared was in his seat already. He leaned over and tied the blindfold over my eyes again. I held still to make it easier. The noise of the engine scared me. It seemed too dangerous. There were so many people who shouldn't find us now. We moved in reverse briefly, and then the wind was blasting my face. There was a funny sound behind the jeep, something that didn't fit Melanie's memories.
"We're going to Tucson," he told me. "We never raid there. It's too close. But we don't have time for anything else. I know where a small hospital is, not too deep into town."
"Not St. Mary's?" He heard the alarm in my voice.
"No, why?"
"I know someone there." He was quiet for a minute.
"Will you be recognized?"
"No. No one will know my face. We don't have wanted people, not like you did."
"Okay."
But he had me thinking now, thinking about my appearance. Before I could voice my concerns, he took my hand and folded it around something very small.
"Keep that close to you."
"What is it?"
"If they guess that you're with us, if they're going to put someone else in Mel's body, you put that in your mouth and bite down on it hard."
"Poison?"
"Yes."
I thought about that for a moment, and then I laughed. I couldn't help it. My nerves were frayed with worry.
"It's not a joke, Wanda," he said angrily. "If you can't do it, then I have to take you back."
"No, no, I can." I tried to get a hold of myself. "I know I can. That's why I'm laughing."
His voice was harsh. "I don't get the joke."
"Don't you see? For millions of my own kind, I've never been able to do that. Not for my own children. I was always too afraid to die that final time. But I can do it for one alien child." I laughed again. "It doesn't make any sense. Don't worry, though. I can die to protect Jamie."
"I'm trusting you to do just that."
It was silent for a moment, and then I remembered what I looked like. "Jared, I don't look right for walking into a hospital."
"We've got better clothes stashed with the less conspicuous vehicles. That's where we're headed now. About 5 more minutes.
That wasn't what I meant, but he was right. These clothes would never do. I waited to talk to him about the rest. I needed to look at myself first. The jeep stopped, and he pulled off the blindfold.
"You don't have to keep your eyes down," he told me when my head ducked automatically. "There's nothing here to give us away. Just in case this place was ever discovered."
It wasn't a cave. It was a rock slide. A few of the bigger boulders had been carefully excavated, leaving clever dark spaces under them that no one would suspect of housing anything but dirt and smaller rocks. The jeep was already lodged in a tight space. I was so close to the rock I had to climb over the back of the jeep to get out. There was something odd attached to the bumper. Chains and 2 very dirty tarps, all ragged and torn.
"Here," Jared said,
and led the way to a shadowy crevice just a little shorter than he was. He brushed aside a dusty, dirt-colored tarp and rifled through a pile hiding behind it. He pulled out a T-shirt, soft and clean, with tags still attached. He ripped those off and threw the shirt to me. Then he dug until he found a pair of khaki pants. He checked the size, then flipped them to me, too.
"Put them on."
I hesitated for a moment while he waited, wondering what my problem was. I flushed and then turned my back to him. I yanked my ragged shirt over my head and replaced it as quickly as my fumbling fingers could manage. I heard him clear his throat.
"Oh, I'll get the car."
His footsteps moved away. I stripped off my tattered cut-off sweats and pulled the crisp new pants into place. My shoes were in bad shape, but they weren't that noticeable. Besides, comfortable shoes weren't always easy to come by. I could pretend I had an attachment to this pair.
Another engine came to life, quieter than the jeeps. I turned to see a modest, unremarkable sedan pull out of a deep shadow under a boulder. Jared got out and chained the tattered tarps from the jeep to this car's rear bumper. Then he drove it to where I stood, and as I saw the heavy tarps wipe the tire tracks from the dirt, I comprehended their purpose. Jared leaned across the seat to open the passenger door. There was a backpack on the seat. It lay flat, empty. I nodded to myself. Yes, this I needed.
Let's go.
Hold on, I said. I crouched to look at myself in the side mirror. Not good. I flipped my chin-length hair over my cheek, but it wasn't enough. I touched my cheek and bit my lip. Jared, I can't go in with my face like this. I pointed to the long, jagged scar across my skin.
What? He demanded.
No soul would have a scar like this. They would have had it treated. They'll wonder where I've been. They'll ask questions.
His eyes widened and then narrowed. Maybe you should have thought of this before I snuck you out. If we go back now, they'll think it was a ploy for you to learn the way out.
We're not going back without medicine for Jamie. My voice was harder than his. His got harder to match it.
What do you propose we do then, Wanda?
I'll need a rock, I sighed. You're going to have to hit me. Chapter 44 Healed.
Wanda.
We don't have time. I'd do it myself, but I can't get the angle right. There's no other way.
I don't think I can do it.
For Jamie, even? I pushed the good side of my face as hard as I could against the headrest of the passenger seat and closed my eyes. Jared was holding the rough fist-sized stone I'd found. He'd been weighing it in his hand for 5 minutes. You just have to get the first few layers of skin off. Just hide the scar, that's all. Come on, Jared, we have to hurry. Jamie, tell him I said to do it now and make it a good one. Mel says do it now and make sure you do it hard enough. Get it all the first time.
Silence.
Do it, Jared!
He took a deep breath, a gasp. I felt the air move and squeezed my eyes tighter. It made a squishing sound and a thud.
That was the first thing I noticed. And then the shock of the blow wore off, and I felt it, too.
Ugh, I groaned.
I hadn't meant to make any sound. I knew that would make it worse for him. But so much was involuntary with this body. Tears sprang up in my eyes, and I coughed to hide a sob. My head rang, vibrated in aftershock.
Wanda? Mel? I'm sorry.
His arms wrapped around us, pulled us into his chest.
It's okay, I whimpered. We're okay. Did you get it all?
His hand touched my chin, turned my head.
Ah!
He gasped, sickened.
I took half your face off. I'm so sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. Let's go.
Right.
His voice was still weak, but he leaned me back into my seat, settling me carefully, and then the car rumbled beneath us. Ice-cold air blew in my face, shocking me, stinging my raw cheek. I'd forgotten what air conditioning felt like. I opened my eyes. We were driving down a smooth wash, smoother than it should have been, carefully altered to be this way. It snaked away from us, coiling around the brush. I couldn't see very far ahead. I pulled the visor down and flipped open the mirror. In the shadowy moonlight, my face was black and white. Black all across the right side, oozing down my chin, dripping across my neck, and seeping into the collar of my new clean shirt. My stomach heaved.
Good job, I whispered.
How much pain are you in?
Not much, I lied. Anyway, it won't hurt much longer. How far are we from Tucson?
Just then, we reached pavement. Funny how the sight of it made my heart race in panic. Jared stopped, keeping the car hidden in the brush. He got out and removed the tarps and chains from the bumper, putting them in the trunk. He got back in and eased the car forward, checking carefully to make sure the highway was empty. He reached for the headlights.
"Wait," I whispered. I couldn't speak louder. I felt so exposed here. "Let me drive."
He looked at me.
"It can't look like I walked to the hospital like this. Too many questions. I have to drive. You hide in the back and tell me where to go. Is there something you can hide under?"
"Okay," he said slowly.
He put the car into reverse and pulled it back into the deeper brush.
"Okay, I'll hide. But if you take us somewhere I don't tell you to go..."
"Oh."
Melanie was stung by his doubt, as was I. My voice was flat.
"Shoot me."
He didn't answer. He got out, leaving the engine running. I slid across the cup holders into his seat. I heard the trunk slam. Jared climbed into the back seat, a thick plaid blanket under his arm.
"Turn right at the road," he said.
The car was an automatic, but it had been a long time and I was unsure behind the wheel. I moved ahead carefully, pleased to find that I remembered how to drive. The highway was still empty. I pulled out onto the road, my heart reacting to the open space again.
"Lights," Jared said.
His voice came from low on the bench. I searched till I found the switch, then flicked them on. They seemed horribly bright. We weren't far from Tucson. I could see a yellowish glow of color against the sky, the lights of the city ahead.
"You could drive a little faster."
"I'm right at the limit," I protested.
He paused for a second.
"Souls don't speed?"
I laughed. The sound was only a tad hysterical.
"We obey all laws, traffic laws included."
The lights became more than a glow. They turned into individual points of brightness. Green signs informed me of my exit options.
"Take Ina Road."
I followed his instructions. He kept his voice low. Though enclosed as we were, we could both have shouted. It was hard to be in this unfamiliar city, to see houses and apartments and stores with signs lit up, to know I was surrounded, outnumbered. I imagined what it must feel like for Jared. His voice was remarkably calm, but he'd done this before many times. Other cars were on the road now. When their lights washed my windshield, I cringed in terror.
"Don't fall apart now, Wanda. You have to be strong for Jamie. This won't work if you can't do that."
I can do it. I concentrated on Jamie and my hands were steadier on the wheel. Jared directed me through the mostly sleeping city. The healing facility was just a small place. It must have been a medical building once. Doctor's offices, rather than an actual hospital. The lights were bright through most of the windows, through the glass front. I could see a woman behind a greeting desk. She didn't look up at my headlights. I drove to the darkest corner of the parking lot. I slid my arms through the straps of the backpack. It wasn't new, but it was in good shape. Perfect. There was just one more thing to do.
"Quick, give me the knife."
"Wanda, I know you love Jamie, but I really don't think you could use it. You're not a fighter."
"Not for them, Jared. I need a wound."
He gasped.
"You have a wound. That's enough."
"I need one like Jamie's. I don't know enough about healing. I have to see exactly what to do. I would have done it before, but I wasn't sure I'd be able to drive."
"No, not again."
"Give it to me now. Someone will notice if I don't go inside soon."
Jared thought it through quickly. He was the best, as Jeb had said, because he could see what had to be done and do it fast. I heard the steely sound of the knife coming out of the sheath.
"Be very careful, not too deep."
"You want to do it?"
He inhaled sharply.
"No."
"Okay."
I took the ugly knife. It had a heavy handle and was very sharp. It came to a tapered point at the tip. I didn't let myself think about it. I didn't want to give myself a chance to be a coward. The arm, not the leg. That's all I paused to decide. My knees were scarred. I didn't want to have to hide that, too.
I held my left arm out. My hand was shaking. I braced it against the door and then twisted my head so that I could bite down on the headrest. I held the knife's handle awkwardly but tightly in my right hand. I pressed the point against the skin of my forearm so I wouldn't miss. Then I closed my eyes. Jared was breathing too hard. I had to be fast or he would stop me. "Just pretend it's a shovel opening the ground," I told myself. I jammed the knife into my arm. The headrest muffled my scream, but it was still too loud. The knife fell from my hand, jerking sickeningly out from the muscle, and then clunked against the floor.
"Wanda!"
Jared rasped. I couldn't answer yet. I tried to choke back the other screams I felt coming. I'd been right not to do this before driving.
"Let me see."
"Stay there," I gasped. "Don't move." I heard the blanket rustling behind me, despite my warning. I pulled my left arm against my body and yanked the door open with my right hand. Jared's hand brushed my back as I half fell out the door. It wasn't a restraint. It was comfort.
"I'll be right back," I coughed out.
And then I kicked the door shut behind me. I stumbled across the lot, fighting nausea and panic. They seemed to balance each other out, one keeping the other from taking control of my body. The pain wasn't too bad, or rather I couldn't feel it as much anymore. I was going into shock. Too many kinds of pain, too close together. Hot liquid rolled down my fingers and dripped to the pavement. I wondered if I could move those fingers. I was afraid to try. The woman behind the reception desk, middle-aged, with dark chocolate skin and a few silver threads in her black hair, jumped to her feet when I lurched through the automatic doors. "Oh, no. Oh, dear." She grabbed a microphone and her next words echoed from the ceiling, magnified.
"Healer Nitz, I need you in reception. This is an emergency."
"No." I tried to speak calmly, but I swayed in place. "I'm okay. Just an accident." She put the microphone down and hurried around to where I stood swaying. Her arm went around my waist.
"Oh, honey, what happened to you?"
"So careless," I muttered. "I was hiking. I fell down the rocks. I was cleaning up after dinner. A knife was in my hand." My hesitation seemed like part of the shock to her. She didn't look at me with suspicion or humor, the way Ian sometimes did when I lied. Only concern.
"You poor dear. What's your name?"
"Glass Spires," I told her, using the rather generic name of a herd member from my time with the Bears.
"Okay, Glass Spires. Here comes the healer. You'll be fine in just a moment."
I didn't feel panicked at all anymore. The kindly woman patted my back. So gentle, so caring. She would never harm me. The healer was a young woman. Her hair, skin, and eyes were all a similar shade of light brown. It made her unusual-looking, monochromatic. She wore tan scrubs that only added to that impression. "Wow," she said. "I'm Healer Nitz Fire. I'll get you fixed up directly. What happened?" I told my story again as the two women led me down a hallway and then through the very first door. They had me lie down on the paper-covered bed. The room was familiar. I'd been in only one place like this, but Melanie's childhood was full of such memories. The short row of double cabinets, the sink where the healer was washing her hands, the bright, clean, white walls. "First things first," Nitzfire said cheerfully. She pulled a cabinet open. I tried to focus my eyes, knowing this was important. The cabinet was full of rows and rows of stacked white cylinders. She pulled one down, reaching for it without searching. She knew what she wanted. The small container had a label, but I couldn't read it. "A little no pain should help, don't you think?" I saw the label again as she twisted the lid off. Two short words. "No pain?" Was that what it said? "Open your mouth, Glass Spires." I obeyed. She took a small, thin square, it looked like tissue paper, and laid it on my tongue. It dissolved at once. There was no flavor. I swallowed automatically. "Better?" the healer asked. "Yes," And it was, already. My voice was clear. My head was clear. I could concentrate without difficulty. The pain had melted away with the tiny square. Disappeared. I blinked, shocked. I know you feel fine now, but please don't move. Your injuries are not treated yet. Of course. Cerulean, could you get us some water? Her mouth seems dry. At once, healer Nitz. The older woman left the room. The healer turned back to her cabinets, opening a different one this time. This, too, was filled with white containers. Here we are. She pulled one from the top of a stack, then took another from the other side. Almost as if she were trying to help me fulfill my mission, she listed the names as she reached for them. Clean, inside and out. Heal, seal. And where is... Ah, smooth. Don't want a scar on that pretty face, do we? No. Don't worry. You'll be perfect again. Thank you. You're very welcome. She leaned over me with another white cylinder. The top of this one came off with a pop, and there was an aerosol spray nozzle underneath. She sprayed my forearm first, coating the wound with clear, odorless mist. Healing must be a fulfilling profession. My voice sounded just right. Interested, but not unduly so. I haven't been in a healing facility since insertion. This is very interesting. Yes, I like it. She started spraying my face. What are you doing now? She smiled. I guessed that I was not the first curious soul. This is clean. It will make sure nothing foreign stays in the wound. It kills off any of the microbes that might infect the wound. Clean, I repeated to myself. And the inside clean, just in case anything has snuck into your system. Inhale this, please. She had a different white cylinder in her hand, a thinner bottle with a pump rather than an aerosol top. She puffed a cloud of mist into the air above my face. I sucked in a breath. The mist tasted like mint. And this is heal, Nitz Fire continued, twisting the cap off the next canister, revealing a small pouring spout. It encourages your tissues to rejoin, to grow the way they should. She dribbled a tiny bit of the clear liquid into the wide cut on my arm. Then she pushed the edges of the wound together. I could feel her touch, but there was no pain. I'll seal this up before I move on. She opened another container, this one a pliable tube, and then squeezed out a line of thick, clear jelly onto her finger. Like glue, she told me. It holds everything together and lets the heel do its job. She wiped it over my arm in one swift pass. Okay, you can move that now. Your arm is fine. I held it up to look. A faint pink line was visible under the shiny gel. The blood was still wet on my arm, but there was no source anymore. As I watched, the healer cleaned my skin with one quick pass of a damp towel. Turn your face this way, please. You must have hit those rocks just exactly wrong. What a mess. Yes, it was a bad fall. Well, thank goodness you were able to drive yourself here. She was lightly dripping heel onto my cheek, smearing it with the tips of her fingers. Ah, I love to watch it work. Looks much better already. Okay, around the edges, she smiled to herself. Maybe one more coat. I want this to be erased. She worked for a minute longer. Very nice. Here's some water, the older woman said as she came through the door. Thank you, Cerulean. Let me know if you need anything more. I'll be up front. Thanks. Cerulean left. I wondered if she was from the flower planet. Blue flowers were rare. One might take a name from that. You can sit now. How do you feel? I pulled myself up. Perfect. It was true. I hadn't felt so healthy in a long time. The sharp shift from pain to ease made the sensation more powerful. That's just how it should be. Okay, let's dust on a little smooth. She twisted the last cylinder's top and shook an iridescent powder into her hand. She patted it onto my cheek, then patted another handful onto my arm. "You'll always have a small line on your arm," she said apologetically. "Like your neck. A deep wound," she shrugged. Absent-mindedly, she brushed the hair back from my neck and examined the scar. "This was nicely done. Who is your healer?" "Faces sunward," I said, pulling the name from one of my old students. "I was in Eureka, Montana. I didn't like the cold. I moved south." So many lies. I felt a twist of anxiety in my stomach. "I started out in Maine," she said, not noticing anything amiss in my voice. As she spoke, she cleaned the blood from my neck. "It was too cold for me to. What's your calling?" "I serve food in a Mexican restaurant in Phoenix. I like spicy food." "Me too." She wasn't looking at me funny. She was wiping my cheek now. "Very nice. No worries, Glass Spires. Your face looks great." "Thank you, healer." "Of course. Would you like some water?" "Yes, please." I kept a grip on myself. It wouldn't do to bolt the glass down the way I wanted to. I wasn't able to stop myself from finishing it all, though. It tasted too good. "Would you like more?" "Yes, that would be nice, thank you. I'll be right back." The second she was out the door, I slid off the mattress. The paper crackled, freezing me in place. She didn't dart back in. I had only seconds. It had taken Cerulean a few minutes to get the water. Maybe it would take the healer just as long. Maybe the cool, pure water was far away from this room. Maybe. I ripped the pack off my shoulders and wrenched the drawstrings open. I started with the second cabinet. There was the stacked column of heal. I grabbed the whole column and let it clatter quietly into the bottom of my pack. What would I say if she caught me? What lie could I tell? I took the two kinds of clean next from the first cabinet. There was a second stack behind the first of each, and I took half of those, too. Then the no pain, both stacks of that. I was about to turn back for the seal when the label of the next row of cylinders caught my attention. Cool. For fevers? There were no instructions, just the label. I took the stack. Nothing here would hurt a human body. I was sure of that. I grabbed all the seal and two cans of smooth. I couldn't press my luck any further. I closed the cabinet quietly and threw my arms through the straps of the pack. I leaned against the mattress, making another crackle. I tried to look relaxed. She didn't come back. I checked the clock. It had been 1 minute. How far away was the water? 2 minutes. 3 minutes. Had my lies been as obvious to her as they were to me? Sweat started to dew up on my forehead. I wiped it away quickly. What if she brought back a seeker? I thought of the small pill in my pocket, and my hands shook. I could do it, though. For Jamie. I heard quiet footsteps then. Two sets. Coming down the hall. Chapter 45. Succeeded. Healer Knitsfire and Cerulean walked through the door together. The healer handed me a tall glass of water. It didn't feel as cold as the first. My fingers were cold with fear now. The dark-skinned woman had something for me, too. She handed me a flat rectangle with a handle. "I thought you would want to see," Knitsfire said with a warm smile. The tension flooded out of me. There was no suspicion or fear, just more kindness from the souls who had dedicated their lives to healing. Cerulean had given me a mirror. I held it up and then tried to stifle my gasp. My face looked the way I remembered it from San Diego, the face I'd taken for granted there. The skin was smooth and peachy across my right cheekbone. If I looked carefully, it was just a little lighter and pinker in color than the tan on the other cheek. It was a face that belonged to Wanderer, the soul. It belonged here, in this civilized place, where there was no violence and no horror. I realized why it was so easy to lie to these gentle creatures. Because it felt right to talk with them. Because I understood their communication and their rules. The lies could be, maybe should be, true. I should be filling a calling somewhere, whether teaching at a university or serving food in a restaurant. A peaceful, easy life contributing to a greater good. What do you think? The healer asked. I look perfect. Thank you. It was my pleasure to heal you. I looked at myself again, seeing details beyond the perfection. My hair was ragged, dirty with uneven ends. There was no gloss to it. Homemade soap and poor nutrition were to blame for that. Though the healer had cleaned the blood from my neck, it was still smudged with purple dust. I think it's time I called the camping trip quits. I need to clean up, I murmured. Do you camp often? In all my free time lately, I can't seem to keep away from the desert. You must be brave. I find this city much more comfortable. Not brave, just different. In the mirror, my eyes were familiar rings of hazel, dark gray on the outside, a circle of moss green, and then another circle of caramel brown around the pupil. Underlying it all, a faint shimmer of silver that would reflect the light, magnify it. "Jamie?" Mel asked urgently, beginning to feel nervous. I was too comfortable here. She could see the logic of the other path laid out before me, and that frightened her. "I know who I am," I told her. I blinked, then looked back at the friendly faces beside me. "Thank you," I said again to the healer. "I suppose I'd better be on my way." "It's very late. You could sleep here if you'd like." "I'm not tired. I feel perfect." The healer grinned. "No pain does that." Cerulean walked me to the reception area. She put her hand on my shoulder as I stepped through the door. My heart beat faster. Had she noticed that my pack, once flat, was now bulging? "Be more careful, dear," she said, and patted my arm. "I will. No more hikes in the dark." She smiled and went back to her desk. I kept my pace even as I walked through the parking lot. I wanted to run. What if the healer looked in her cabinets? How soon would she realize why they were half empty? The car was still there, in the pocket of darkness created by a gap between street lights. It looked empty. My breath came fast and uneven. Of course it should look empty, that was the whole point. But my lungs didn't calm until I could glimpse the vague shape under the blanket on the back seat. I opened the door and put the backpack on the passenger seat. It settled there with a reassuring clatter. Then I climbed in and shut the door. There was no reason to slam the locks down. I ignored the urge.
"Are you okay?"
Jared whispered as soon as the door was closed. His voice was a strained, anxious rasp.
"Shh,"
I said, keeping my lips as still as I could.
"Wait."
I drove past the bright entrance and answered Cerulean's wave with one of my own.
"Making friends?"
We were on the dark road. No one was watching me anymore. I slumped in the seat. My hands started to shake. I could allow that, now that it was over, now that I'd succeeded. "All souls are friends," I told him, using my normal volume.
"Are you all right?" he demanded again.
"I'm healed.
Let me see."
I stretched my left arm across my body so he could see the tiny pink line. He sucked in a surprised breath. The blanket rustled. He sat up and then climbed through the space between the seats. He pushed the backpack out of the way and then pulled it onto his lap, testing its weight. He looked up at me as we passed under a street lamp and he gasped.
"Your face!"
"It's healed too, naturally." He raised one hand, holding it in the air near my cheek, unsure.
"Does it hurt?"
"Of course not. It feels like nothing happened to it in the first place." His fingers brushed the new skin. It tingled, but that was from his touch. Then he was back to business.
"Did they suspect anything? Do you think they'll call the Seekers?"
"No. I told you they wouldn't be suspicious. They didn't even check my eyes. I was hurt, so they healed me. I shrugged.
What did you get?
He asked, opening the drawstrings on the backpack. The right things for Jamie, if we get back in time. I glanced at the clock on the dashboard automatically, though the hours it marked were meaningless, and more for the future. I only took what I understood.
We'll be back in time, he promised.
He examined the white containers.
Smooth?
Not a necessity, but I know what it does, so... He nodded, digging through the bag. He muttered the names to himself.
No pain? Does it work?
I laughed. It's amazing. If you stab yourself, I could show you. That's a joke.
I know.
He was staring at me with an expression I didn't understand. His eyes were wide, like something had deeply surprised him. What? My joke hadn't been that bad.
You did it.
His tone was full of wonder. Wasn't that the idea?
Yes, but... I guess I didn't really think we were going to make it out.
You didn't? Then why... Why did you let me try? He answered in a soft, almost whisper.
I figured it was better to die trying than to live without the kid.
For a moment, my throat was choked with emotion. Mel was too overcome to speak as well. We were a family in that one instant. All of us. I cleared my throat. No need to feel things that would only come to nothing. It was very easy. Probably any of you could get away with it if you acted naturally. She did look at my neck. I touched it reflexively. Your scar is too obviously homemade, but with the medicines I took, Doc could fix that.
I doubt any of us could act so natural.
I nodded. Yes, it's easy for me. I know what they expect. I laughed briefly to myself. I'm one of them. If you trusted me, I could probably get you anything in the world you wanted. I laughed again. It was just the stress fading, making me giddy. But it was funny to me. Did he realize that I would do exactly that for him? Anything in the world he wanted.
I do trust you, he whispered. With all our lives, I trust you.
And he had trusted me with every single human life. His and Jamie's and everyone else's. Thank you, I whispered back.
You did it, he repeated in wonder.
We're going to save him. Jamie is going to live, Mel rejoiced. Thank you, Wanda. Anything for them, I told her. And then I sighed, because it was so true. After reattaching the tarps when we reached the wash, Jared took over the driving. The way was familiar to him, and he drove faster than I would have. He had me get out before he pulled the car into its impossibly small hiding place under the rock slide. I waited for the sound of rock against metal, but Jared found a way in. And then we were back in the Jeep and flying through the night. Jared laughed, triumphant, as we jolted across the open desert, and the wind carried his voice away. "Where's the blindfold?" I asked.
"Why?"
I looked at him.
"Wanda, if you wanted to turn us in, you had your chance. No one can deny that you're one of us now."
I thought about that. I think some still could. It would make them feel better.
Your some need to get over themselves.
I was shaking my head now, picturing our reception. It's not going to be easy getting back in. Imagine what they're thinking right now, what they're waiting for. He didn't answer. His eyes narrowed. Jared, if they don't listen, if they don't wait... I started talking faster, feeling a sudden pressure, trying to get him all the information before it was too late. Give Jamie the no pain first, lay that on his tongue, then the inside clean spray. He just has to inhale it. You'll need Doc to...
Hey, you're going to be the one giving the directions.
But let me tell you how...
No, Wanda. It's not going to go down that way. I'll shoot anyone who touches you.
Jared,
don't panic. I'll aim low. And then you can use that stuff to heal him back up again.
If that's a joke, it's not funny.
No joke, Wanda.
Where's the blindfold? He pressed his lips together. But I had my old shirt. Jeb's raggy hand-me-down. That would work almost as well.
This will make it a little bit easier for them to let us in, I said as I folded it up into a thick band. And that means getting to Jamie faster.
I tied it over my eyes.
It was quiet for a time.
The jeep bounced along the uneven terrain.
I remembered nights like this when Melanie had been the passenger.
I'm taking us right to the caves. There's a place the jeep will be fairly well hidden for a day or two. It will save us time.
I nodded. Time was the key now.
Almost there, he said after a minute.
He exhaled.
They're waiting.
I heard him fumbling beside me, heard a metal clank as he pulled the gun from the back seat.
Don't shoot anyone.
No promises.
Stop!
Someone shouted. The sound carried in the empty desert air. The jeep slowed and then idled.
It's just us, Jared said.
Yes, yes, look.
See? I'm still me.
There was hesitation from the other side.
Look, I'm bringing the jeep in undercover, okay? We've got meds for Jamie and we're in a hurry. I don't care what you're thinking, you're not going to get in my way tonight.
The jeep pulled forward. The sound changed and echoed as he found his cover.
Okay, Wanda, everything's fine. Let's go.
I already had the pack on my shoulders. I got out of the jeep carefully, not sure where the wall was. Jared caught my searching hands.
Up you go,
he said, and lifted me over his shoulder again.
I wasn't as secure as before. He used only one arm to hold me. The other must have had the gun. I didn't like that. But I was worried enough to be grateful for it when I heard the running footsteps approaching.
Jared, you idiot!
Kyle shouted.
What were you thinking?
He's up, Kyle, Jeb said.
Is she hurt?
Ian demanded.
Get out of my way, Jared said, his voice calm. I'm in a hurry. Wanda's in perfect shape, but she insisted on being blindfolded. How is Jamie?
Hot.
Jeb said.
Wanda's got what we need.
He was moving fast now, sliding downhill.
I can carry her.
Ian, of course.
She's fine where she is.
I'm really okay, I told Ian, my voice bouncing with Jared's movement. Uphill again, a steady jog despite my weight. I could hear the others running with us. I knew when we were through to the main cavern. The angry hiss of voices swelled around us, turning into a clamor of sound.
Out of my way!
Jared roared over their voices. Is Doc with Jamie?
I couldn't make out the answer. Jared could have put me down, but he was in too much of a hurry to pause for that second. The angry voices echoed behind us, the sound constricting as we entered the smaller tunnel. I could feel where we were now. Follow the turns in my head as we raced through the junction to the third sleeping hall. I could almost count the doors as they passed me invisibly. Jared jerked to a halt and let the sudden stop slide me down from his shoulder. My feet hit the floor. He ripped the blindfold from my eyes. Our room was lit by several of the dim blue lanterns. Doc was standing rigidly as if he'd just sprung to his feet. Kneeling beside him, her hand still holding a wet cloth to Jamie's forehead, was Sharon. Her face was almost unrecognizable, it was so contorted with fury. Maggie was struggling to her feet on Jamie's other side. Jamie still lay limp and red, eyes closed, his chest barely moving to pull in air.
You!
Sharon spit, and then she launched herself from her crouch. Like a cat, she sprang at Jared, nails reaching for his face. Jared caught her hands and twisted her away from him, pulling her arms behind her back. Maggie looked as if she was about to join her daughter, but Jeb stepped around the struggling Sharon and Jared to stand toe to toe with her.
"Let her go!" Doc cried.
Jared ignored him.
"Wanda, heal him!"
Doc moved to put himself between Jamie and me. "Doc," I choked. The violence in the room swirling around Jamie's still form scared me. I need your help. Please. For Jamie.
Doc didn't move, his eyes on Sharon and Jared.
Come on, Doc, Ian said.
The little room was too crowded, claustrophobic, as Ian came to stand with his hand on my shoulder.
You gonna let the kid die for your pride?
It's not pride. You don't know what these foreign substances will do to him.
It can't get much worse, can he?
Doc, I said. Look at my face. Doc wasn't the only one who responded to my words. Jeb, Ian, and even Maggie looked and then did a double take. Maggie glanced away quickly, angry that she'd betrayed any interest.
How? Doc demanded.
I'll show you. Please. Jamie doesn't need to suffer. Doc hesitated, staring at my face, and then let out a big sigh.
Ian's right. He can't get much worse. If this kills him...
He shrugged, and his shoulders slumped. He took a step back.
No!
Sharon cried. No one paid any attention to her. I knelt beside Jamie, yanking the backpack off my shoulders and tugging it open. I fumbled until I found the no pain. A bright light switched on beside me, pointed at Jamie's face. Water, Ian? I twisted the lid open and pinched out one of the little tissue squares. When I pulled Jamie's chin down, his skin burned my hand. I laid the square on his tongue and then held out my hand without looking up. Ian placed the bowl of water in it. Carefully, I dripped enough water into his mouth to wash the medicine down his throat. The sound of his swallow was dry and painful. I searched frantically for the thinner spray bottle. When I found it, I had the lid off and the mist sprayed into the air above him in one fast movement. I waited, watching his chest until he inhaled. I touched his face, and it was so hot. I scrambled for the cool, praying it would be easy to use. The lid screwed off, and I found that the cylinder was full of more tissue squares, light blue this time. I breathed a sigh of relief and placed one on Jamie's tongue. I picked up the bowl again and dribbled another mouthful of water through his parched lips. His swallow was quicker this time, less strained. Another hand touched Jamie's face. I recognized Doc's long, bony fingers. Doc, do you have a sharp knife?
I have a scalpel. You want me to open the wound?
Yes, so I can clean it.
I thought about trying that, to drain it. But the pain...
He'll feel nothing now.
Look at his face.
Ian leaned in beside me to whisper. Jamie's face was no longer red. It was a natural, healthy tan. The sweat still glistened on his brow, but I knew it was just left over from before. Doc and I touched his forehead at the same time.
It's working! Yes! Exultation swept through both Mel and me.
Remarkable, Doc breathed. The fever has cooled, but the infection may remain in his leg. Help me with his wound, Doc.
Sharon, could you hand me...
He began absent-mindedly. Then he looked up.
Oh. Kyle, do you mind handing me that bag right there by your foot?
I scooted down so that I was over the red, swollen cut. Ian redirected the light so I could see it clearly. Doc and I both rustled through our bags at the same time. He came up with the silver scalpel, a sight that sent a quiver of unease down my spine. I ignored it and readied the bigger, clean spray.
He won't feel it?
Doc checked, hesitating.
Hey,
Jamie croaked. His eyes were open wide, roaming the room until they found my face.
Hey, Wanda. What's going on? What's everyone doing here?
Chapter 46 Encircled. Jamie started to sit up.
Easy there, kid. How you feeling?
Ian moved to press Jamie's shoulders against the mattress.
I feel really good. Why is everyone here? I don't remember.
You've been sick. Hold still so we can finish fixing you.
Can I have some water?
Sure, kid. Here you go.
Doc was staring at Jamie with disbelieving eyes. I could barely talk. My throat was so tight with joy.
It's the no pain, I muttered. It feels wonderful.
Why does Jared have Sharon in a headlock? Jamie whispered to Ian.
She's in a bad mood, Ian stage whispered back.
Hold very still, Jamie, Doc cautioned. We're going to clean out your injury, okay?
Okay, Jamie agreed in a small voice. He'd noticed the scalpel in Doc's hands. He eyed it warily.
Tell me if you can feel this, Doc said.
If it hurts, I amended. With practiced skill, Doc slid the scalpel gently through the diseased skin in one swift movement. We both glanced at Jamie. He was staring straight up at the dark ceiling.
That feels weird, Jamie said. But it doesn't